I almost called this a cloak, a calling, and a barbecue. But today, what I want to do is I want to take you on the journey of two prophets and a commander. And it's a mind-blowing journey. As I got into this, the Lord so met me and started to just knock my socks off. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is because I'm finding us, Jubilee, here again. And I didn't anticipate that when I stepped into this passage that he had put on my heart. But the more I got into it, the more I found us. So I'm inviting you to put on your faith hiking shoes this morning. And I'm going to start in 1 Kings chapter 19. Glasses. Okay. I'll get to the right place. Here we go. 1 Kings chapter 19. Then the Lord said to him, go. The Lord is talking to Elijah. He had just finished calling down fire on the 450 prophets of Baal. Total slaughter. And so he had just heard the voice of God in the whisper. And he thought, you know, I'm the only one left. Anyone feel that way? You've like pressed on in faith and you're like, I've held this piece of the wall for so long and everybody's gone. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one interceding. I'm the only one believing. I'm the only one praying. I'm the only one suffering. That's how Elijah felt. And the Lord's like, nope. So he says in verse 15, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah. And you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him. 12 yoke, that's 24 cows, 24 yeah. oxen, yeah. okay? Yeah. That's a lot of oxen he was pulling. That must have been a large field. And he was standing with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Strange. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said, go back. What have I done to you? It's cheeky. So Elisha turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people. You see, that's what prophets did. When the prophets came into a city, they would give a sacrifice, and they would give the meat of that sacrifice to the people in that city. Elisha stepped in immediately upon that calling. He went back and he took what his hands had set to work, and he said, I will give this now to the Lord. I will give the work of my hands. He immediately slaughtered it as a sacrifice unto the Lord, and he gave the meat out to the people. And they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Let's go to 2 Kings 2. I'm going to continue the story. Verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven. So Elisha was following Elijah now. He had become his apprentice. And he'd been walking around with him and watching him do the prophet thing and serve the Lord the way he ministered to the Lord. And now Elijah is coming to the end of his life. So it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went together down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, don't you know the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So the prophets knew. They're like, he gonna die. Do you know this? And he said, yes, I know. Shut up. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he answered, yes, I know. Shut up. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance. You see, everybody was hearing what was about to happen. And everyone was trying to talk what they were hearing. Yeah. And Elisha had one focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my eyes on you.
Yeah.
Right.
Until the Lord tells me something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take care of myself. Don't you know your master? He's going to die today. Yeah. You better take care of yourself. Don't you? God's going to do something. You better do something to prepare for the future, to get ready. And he's like, no, no. My eyes are on him.
Yeah.
So they're all there. And they're facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it won't be so. And then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and got between the two of them. I would back up like a lot. It, like fire. I would back up a lot. So it separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. Because he didn't take his eyes away from his call. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. Side note, when Elisha dies many years later, the king who was weeping over them quoted that same scripture. Anyway, I'm not going to go teach that right now. But then Elisha saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and they bowed to the ground before him. Let's pray. Holy One, your word is truth. Sanctify us by your word, by your truth today. Open our hearts, each one in this place, to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Let us keep our eyes on you this morning, not me. I am just the delivery boy. I am not the message you are. Take us to you, Jesus. Take us to the Father. May we see you. May we behold you today. In our time together, in Jesus' name. So, after watching Elijah deal with Ahab and Ahaziah, you know, I don't know if you remember that, but we get to read that this week. We're going to be in the scripture readings all together. That, you know, Elijah's sitting there, and the king sends an army of 50 with a commander to him to make him come. And he's like, nope,
if I'm a prophet, let God send fire. Boom, burns up the 51 people. So the king sends another group of 50, and they show up. We're going to get the prophet. We're going to take him to the king, because the king thought he was God. And Elijah's like, if I'm a prophet, let fire come. Boom, 51 more people gone. The next troop comes in, 50 people. This guy gets it. He's on his knees. Okay, please don't kill me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And he humbles himself before the prophet. It's not the prophet that was holy. It was the God that he served that was holy. And that was the prophet's intention. Not that you worship me, but that you understand the holiness of the God I represent. He is holy. Remember a few weeks ago, I talked about the jet engine. It fires up, you hit the ground. That's the only safe place. These guys, they didn't hit the ground. They burned up. The guy who hit the ground, he was safe. Okay? So Elisha is watching Elijah as a prophet do these sort of things. And he knows he's the apprentice to him. And so he's now become well-schooled in the power of God and in his holiness. So when Elijah announces his departure, then Elisha's desperation kicks in. He had no desire for his master to depart. Because remember, Elijah tells Elisha to remain. Stay here while I leave to go die. And three times Elisha responds, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So Elijah takes Elisha on a prophetic journey before he can step into this mantle. The journey toward the end of Elijah's life starts with where Elisha was called into ministry by Elijah. It was in Gilgal. That's where Elisha lived. He lived in Gilgal. In 1 Kings that we read in chapter 19, when the Lord told Elijah, go get Elisha, he's going to follow in your footsteps. And he came and he threw the mantle. Elisha was plowing in Gilgal, in his home. Why is that important to us? Because, can I have that picture, Barb? It says Jordan Stones. It's in the menu. I don't know if you guys remember, but before we moved in, we did a prophetic act at the Calle Suerte building. And we had those representative of priests come and place the stones. And then we took those stones across the Jordan of Camarillo, and we brought them here and we set them here. As I was studying this, guess what I found out? Gilgal is where those stones were placed. They were placed in Gilgal. That's where Elisha was called, is where they set up a memorial to say, the Lord has brought us into our inheritance. Not only were the stones there, because that was the place the Israelites crossed over to, it was also the place they got circumcised, was in Gilgal. Gilgal means the rolling off of reproach. They had crossed the Jordan out of Egypt, out of the desert, out of that time in the desert, and the Lord had brought them into their inheritance. He had separated them into their inheritance. He had rolled off their reproach in Gilgal. So this journey now, this prophetic journey with Elijah and Elisha, began where the reproach was rolled off. I'm finding us in this story, you guys. We were led out and across the Jordan here. It's not where we end. But it was the place where we begin, as God wants to roll off reproach off of our lives. Woundings we've carried, offense we've carried, disappointment perhaps we've carried. God says, here, I want to circumcise your heart where you've stepped out of, where you've stepped from disappointment into grief and sorrow, and maybe that's become your cloak. Or fear has become your cloak. And the Lord says, I want to roll that reproach off of you. I want to circumcise that out of your heart, because this is not where you're going to stay. But you're not to carry that forward into the next season. As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So now they go into Bethel. What is Bethel? Bethel is the place where Jacob saw the Lord, and he saw the ladder with the angels going up and down, and he said, this can only be the house of God. I want to go to Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 through 15 real quick. Do, 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 do. Keep your boots on. Keep your boots on. Take a drink of water. Okay. Here is God, and he is talking. And he says, verse 13. Behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Bethel was the place of promise. It was the place where Jacob received the reassurance that God was the one establishing his lineage, that God was the one who had set up his inheritance. It's also where the ark was brought to be kept. The house of God. That is where we're being led next, is to follow the presence. Bethel represents the presence of God. Brian and I certainly don't need you to follow us. Eek. But we are to follow the presence. Yeah, yeah. And in this moment that we are in this moment of transition, I hear Moses, when the Lord said to him that he would establish them and he would give them their inheritance and their land, and I'm going to send an angel with you, but I will not go. And he said, then forget it. Deal's off. I would rather stay in the desert than go into my inheritance without you. This is the moment where we realign, where our hearts get cut and cleaned, and we realign to the fact that God must be everything. He must reign. We sang that over and over. You reign. You reign. He must reign in our hearts. We can't go somewhere. And Brian and I had a great talk about that this week. We only know to do what we've done. So given our own understanding, we're going to go and replicate what we already know. We're just going to try and find another place to go be comfortable. Because we fell in love with this little place so fast. I mean, this little room has become dear in my heart. That's the only word I can think of. Every time I think of this little place, it's just dear. You know why? Because it brought my family back together. It brought us into one again. We were kind of spread out. We were kind of everybody doing their own things. And God made us small to bring us back together. And that has become so dear in my heart that I'm like, I don't want to leave this sweet little place. And so we're looking, we're actively looking and we're listening and we're praying. And we're like, are we trying to just find another place? And I realize that the Lord's going, I need you to find my presence. I need you to find me. Not that he needs that. We need that. Because to go be somewhere where we're comfortable again and we're happy again and we're together again and I feel safe. I'd like feeling safe. I like feeling safe. I don't know about any of you. I like feeling safe. Yes. Got an amen in the back row. I love to feel safe. It's so easy for me to go and try and replicate what will make me feel safe. But like Moses, heck no. If I find somewhere that I'm comfortable and you're not there, deal's off. We don't need to build Jubilee unto Jubilee. We need to be unto him in all that we do. So the presence, he's calling us now. Get into my presence. Come. Come get into my presence. Bethel is where the ark rested. The ark is in you. The presence of the Lord is here. We must come in and find him till we're rejoicing again, till our joy has returned. The joy of the Lord is our strength. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So on to Jericho. This is the place where the Israelites had their first battle this side of the Jordan. But it was a battle of faith. They didn't fight. Actually, they did fight. They had to fight the enemy of doubt and fear and complaining and opinions and our own noisy souls. God's way of defeating the enemy in this season, once they left the presence, was in obedience and in silent reverence. All eyes on Jesus. All eyes on Jesus. Elisha would not move his eyes. Even though the prophets rightly came, they rightly prophesied. Don't you know your master's going to die? That was true. They were hearing, but they had not heard everything he was called to. So he was single focused. I will not leave him. Talk to the hand. So the battle was fought in silence, and it took the same amount of time to come into alignment with God as it took God to create the earth. 7 days. 7 days makes 1 week, I've heard. Lord, make us weak. We don't need to be strong. We need to be weak, because when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Why? Because I'm fully dependent. I'm fully, absolutely dependent on him when I'm weak. That's where we start rejoicing. In our weakness, in our weakness, in our weakness. So Jericho was their walk by faith. The Lord fought this battle for them. Jericho was where Joshua met the commander of the army, the angel who was the commander of the army. And he's like, are you on our side or theirs? And he's like, neither. I'm here to rule. I'm not here to do your thing. I'm not here to do their thing. I'm here to do God's thing. So Jericho is the place where I yield in full obedience to the fact that God reigns, and only God reigns. And it was also where they stepped into their promise through that focused, silent obedience. The walls of Jericho came down, and they began their inheritance. As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Well, finally, they end up at the Jordan. The Jordan, the line of demarcation that separates me from my past and my inheritance. You see, Jordan represented to the Israelites, you cross this, you're no longer slaves. You are sons. This is the place of your inheritance. This is the line of demarcation. And as the priests stepped into the Jordan, it parted, and they made it across. So now Elijah is getting ready to die, and it's the last step of the journey. And what does he do? He crosses back over to the other side where they came from. Same way, puts his mantle on the water. It separates. He and Elisha cross over the Jordan back to where they had come out of Israel. And he said, here is where God will take me. And as soon as he was gone, Elisha takes that mantle, strikes the water, and crosses back into the promise. It was the end of a season. It was the beginning of a new portion of their call, of their story. And it started again at the Jordan. It ended at the Jordan. It began at the Jordan. What was Pastor constantly saying? The way we go out is the way we come in. You put the stones back up for me, Barb? We laid those stones at Calle Suerte. And then we picked them up and we scooped them up and we brought them here. We crossed over as a prophetic act. We said, Lord, we will leave everything we know. We will leave everything we know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And we will go forward in faith and we will step in. And we brought them here and we set them here as an act of faith to declare this is where the Lord has led us. In the next season of going forward, the next portion of our journey. As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So Elijah gives Elisha a command. Once they get across the first time, they go back. He says, okay, you've stuck with me. You've kept your eyes focused. What is it you want? He says, I want double of what you've got. I want double of what you're carrying. There was a hunger and there was desperation. And Elijah says to him, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me go, it shall be yours. And so then we have the chariot of fire and the horses land between the two of them, which carries off Elijah. Elijah looks up and that prophet mantle falls to him. So after grieving the departure of his master, he takes the mantle, calls on Elijah's God, strikes the water, it parts. He crosses back into the promise and immediately into the miracle ministry. We see Elisha begin where his mentor ended, crossing over. So a few chapters later in 2 Kings chapter 4, thanks for sticking with me in this story, he encounters the Shunammite woman who houses him. He's coming through, he's coming through. She's like, hey, you're here a lot. Can we build you an upper room? And she provides for the prophet. And in so doing, as a gift to her, he prophesies to her something she didn't ask for, but God knew it was on her heart. As you are obedient, the Lord hears your prayers and knows them. And at the appointed time, he will bring forth the prayer of your heart. She hadn't even uttered it. In fact, she was pretty ticked. He's like, you're going to have a son in a year. And she's like, I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for that. And he's like, yeah, I'll be back in a year. You'll have a boy. So she gets this boy. Prayer answered. Hallelujah. He grows up. A few years later, he gets an aneurysm or a sunstroke. We don't know, but he dies. And rather than freaking the heck out, she immediately goes, I must return to the Lord. In her heart. How do we know this? Because she tells her servant, I need you to get me a donkey and send a servant with me. And she's getting ready to go. And the husband's like, hey, what's up? You okay? She's like, everything's great. Yeah. Why? I cannot listen to another voice right now. I know exactly what I'm being called to. I'm being called to faith. I cannot listen to your opinion. I cannot listen to your love for me. That's like, I know you're in grief and I know you're suffering and this is crazy. I cannot listen. As the Lord lives, as my soul lives, I will not leave you. Listen, here it comes. Go ahead, Barb, start at verse 25. So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God, and this is Elisha, saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, it's the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it's good. Now when she came to Elisha at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone. Her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? This is her deepest pain. I had told myself I was never going to have a kid, and you gave me one, and now he is gone. How often do we wait on the Lord, and he grants us the prayer of our hearts, and then something happens, and we're like, it is gone. How is this gone? I didn't want it. I did want it, but I gave up on it because I didn't want this grief. I didn't want this loss. I didn't want this pain. I had already become accustomed to the loss I had by not having it. And then you went and you gave me my heart's desire. You opened my heart again, and now it's gone. And so he said to Gehazi, get ready and take my staff in your hand. Be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the faith of the on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. These were his words. These were his words to Elijah. These were his exact words of desperation. These were his words of faith to Elijah. I will not leave you. And here she is saying the exact same words. As your soul lives, as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. I'm pretty sure that woke him up. Hearing his own words said back to him, because he arose and he followed her. Gehazi went anyway, and he laid the staff on the child, and it didn't work. He thought, well, I was told, I'll try it. Here we go. But only after Elisha lay on the child and breathed on him twice did he fully resurrect. See, that mama knew she must have the prophet come. Oddly enough, it wasn't until Elisha heard her utter the exact same words of his own desperation that he responded, and God answered that desperation with the miracle. Now, I want to talk to you about a commander in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman is the commander of the army of Syria, of the king of Syria. He's a great man, an honorable man. He has favor with the king. He's a good dude, and he's got leprosy. His wife's servant mentioned there was a prophet in Samaria that could heal him. So the king sent a letter to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel's like, what's this? I don't have the power of healing. What are you doing? Is he trying to start a secret war with me? What's going on? And Elisha gets wind of it, and he shows up to the king, and he says, hey, king, tell him to come. He is going to know that there is a prophet in Israel. So they send for Naaman, and he goes to see Elisha, and Elisha just sends a messenger and says, tell you what, go tell him, go dip in the ocean seven, go dip in the river seven times. In which river? The Jordan. So here we are again, the line of demarcation. Go dip in the river Jordan seven times. Naaman is furious. He cannot believe the prophet won't come out and do the dance and the prayer thing and wave his arms. I mean, he talks about it. He's like, he's supposed to come out and like do this and pray to God. You know, he's got an idea of how this great thing is going to heal me. And then he starts judging the waters as less than the rivers of his hometown. He's like, Jordan's not even that great of a river. The rivers at my house are way better and more pristine and beautiful. The Jordan's a janky river. Why would I dip there? And so he leaves. He's offended. He thought he deserved better because of his position. Now, I sometimes do that. I think, well, God, I'm your kid. Shouldn't you? Elisha didn't move. Eventually, the servant girl convinces Naaman that he would have listened to Elisha's commands if they required a great opulent display. And he's like, but he asked something simple of you. So Naaman humbled himself, and he went and he dipped in the Jordan, and he was healed. You see, the prophet's delay is intentional. Both times, it served to reveal the true nature of the petitioner's hearts. So when the Shunammite mom came and he refused to go, her response was desperation and conviction and faith. When Naaman came and he delayed, his response revealed what was in his heart, which was pride and arrogance. And he wasn't granted his miracle until he humbled himself. So the mama possessed the same level of desperation that led to her determination and resulted in God granting them both the desire of their hearts. So why does God wait a lot of times till we're desperate to answer our prayers? Because everything he does is so that Christ will be formed in us. And before that can happen, he's got to expose our hearts to us. He's got to reveal what's in me. Search my heart, search my heart, search my heart. I know you want this thing, but do you recognize that what's actually keeping you from possessing that is your heart? Is something you're holding on to that hasn't yet come to Gilgal to be circumcised? So I'm constantly trying to hedge my faith in bets, hedge my bets in faith, because I'm trying to avoid suffering. God, if you'll just give us another place, I will fill in the blank, dot, dot, dot. And he's like, I don't want to give you another place. I want to give you me. Do you realize that's the reason I moved you in the first place? I didn't move you out of there to bring you here. I moved you out of there to bring you back to me. I want all of your heart. I want all of your heart. I want all of your heart. You know what I want you desperate for? Not another church building. I want you desperate for me. Because I'm not locked in four walls. I'm outside the four walls. I'm in your home. I'm in your relationships. I'm in your workplace. I'm in the marketplace. And I am in the four walls. But this is not the sum total of where I am. And I want your heart back to me. You see, we have a need. But need is not faith. And we often come to God in prayer based on our need. And God's like, but I'm looking for faith. So I can come and I can go, I believe, and I need you to help with like this dump truck of unbelief that I have. That's legal. It's in the word. I get to pray that because God put it in here. He doesn't need me to be perfect in my faith. He is perfect. I come with my imperfection and say, you who are the perfect one, perfect me. Perfect me. Perfect me in this place. Because he wants all of me and he wants all of you. He wants all of us. So what my need does, and that's what Elisha's postponements did. He didn't immediately respond to their need. He postponed so that their hearts would come alive, so their hearts would be revealed. Every time Zeke responds, the Lord told me Zeke is a portal. And when the Spirit shows up, you'll hear Zeke utter. And so I'm always listening. I'm listening in the places I wouldn't otherwise hear. And right now, what God is wanting to do is he's wanting to release faith in us and through us in this moment. And he can't wait to meet us there. So let's stand for a minute. Tim, could I have you? Thanks. And if you don't want to stand, don't stand. I'm not going to push against you. I don't want to stand. Well, don't stand. I don't care. What I do want us to do is I do want us to take a moment with the prayer that Moses prayed. If you don't go, I won't either. I must have you. As the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you, Jesus. So whatever transaction you need to have right now in this place where we bring our heart to him and we say, God, I want to come through Gilgal and I want you to circumcise my heart. I want to come into Bethel, your presence, and I want to exalt you and I want to be with only you. I must have your presence. We don't need our thing. We don't need our way of doing church. We need your presence, God. And then we will follow you into our inheritance and you will do the fighting and we will do the staring at you. We will look to you in a silence of what is my soul and my flesh. I will say, shh, just like Elisha said to the prophets, I know, shut up. I'm going to tell my soul, I know, be quiet. I know what we need. I know what we're looking for, but be quiet. I must keep my eyes on him in this season. And I will watch him take down the walls of unbelief, of doubt, of offense, of judgment, of criticism. of cursing, of demonic oppression. I will watch him take down the walls that I could not take, but I will follow you in obedience, God. And I will watch you destroy my enemies. And then I will come to the Jordan, the line of demarcation, Father God. And I will say, have your way. Lead me again out of slavery and into sonship. Lead us into your inheritance. Lead us, Lord God, into your inheritance. Oh, Holy One, Holy Perfect One, reign above it all. Reign above it all, oh God. Reign above our hearts. Reign above our journey. Reign above our journey. We are in the prophetic journey together with you, God. And here I am. I have nothing to bring you but what you have given to me. I have faith. And it's little faith. And maybe it's mustard seed faith. But even that, God, is able to move mountains. But Lord, I don't need to move any mountains that you aren't telling me to move. So let me not approach a mountain and go, well, that's in my way. Get out. Let me not presume. Let me keep my eyes on you alone. Asking, Lord, what do you say? What do you say? I must have you. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Keep our hearts now, God. If there's anything stirring in our heart, if there's something, I see someone crouched in a corner with their hands over their head, and it's a wound in your soul. And the Lord's like, look up, child. I'm coming to you there, and I'm bringing your promise. I see like a back room, and people are playing poker, and someone's putting everything they've got on the table, and they're like, this is it. This is going to be the time where I don't lose it. I'm going to gain it all. I'm going to gain it all. I'm going to gain it all. And God puts his hands on the pot, and he goes, this is death. There's nothing here for you that you can gain through your own efforts. Come unto me. What you need is rest for your soul. Know that I love you, and I have called you unto myself. I'm calling you to trust again. I see someone like a kid, a teenage kid, and he's reaching in his pocket and he's pulling out a little box, and in it, it's got these little things that you throw on the ground. They're poppers. You throw them and they go pop, 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 pop. And he's brought it out because, you know, it's kind of like I can distract people. And if I distract people, then they won't see what's really going on with me. And the Lord says, can I have that box? Can I have the means and the armor through which you're trying to distract others away from your fear? And if you'll hand that box to me, I see him take the box and hand it back. And the person opens the box and there's a ring in it. He says, this is my ring. Put it on because you're mine. You're mine. Lord, you're calling us out of darkness and out of slavery. You're calling us into true sonship. Work on our hearts right now. Work on our hearts. Even if we don't feel anything, Holy Spirit, have your way in this moment, in this room, on our hearts. Have your way on us. Have your way in us. We want you. We want you, Jesus, and I'd like you all to say with me, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, Lord, I will not leave you. That is our confession, Jesus. Lead us forward into your glory. For your name's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.